Everyone, it's a schus to be back together. I want to start by, first of all, thanking Daniela and the Kopels for opening up their bias. Especially, as we all know, we're very close to the Heilig Yontif of Pesach. A lot of homes wouldn't allow anyone into the house at this point. As you know, maybe, I don't know, Chvesas, you have like a drop of chametz in your shoe or something. And people are... people are Baruch Hashem very makbid on such an yonim, but so it's a schus to be here, and Amir Tashem should be the schus for Daniela and her whole mishpacha, Bez Hashem is Baruch. Also want to give a very special mazel tov. We have the schus to have two members of the chevra that are here tonight, and are usually here with us, learning together, who Baruch Hashem, since the last time we were together, both became kalas. And Ariella Weiss and Tamara Weinberg. Woo! You guys could sing when I leave. And dance and do whatever you want. But Lamaisa, you guys, both of you, Ariella, Tamara, should be Zocha to build the Bayis Nam Yisrael, Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha. All the Simcha that you felt over the last few days should be the smallest Simcha of your life. And Amir Tashem, it should be only continued growth and continued simcha. And Amir Tashem, everybody else, b'shatayv etzlachas. Everybody else should be the right time with the right person. I'm sure both Ariel and Tamara could tell you and give chizik. Well, you know, it's obviously a lot easier once you're there. But give chizik to those who need. And understanding when you find that right person, it's keharifayin. It's like the blinking eye and whatever weight it was, which is obviously different for every individual, it's well worth it. Namir Tashem, it should be for everybody in this room. Shataiva at the right time, and we should just celebrate Simcha as always, Bez Hashem. There's a Gemara in Pesachim that tells us something very interesting about Chametz. How Chametz, which we know is going to be Aser already on a Torah level Monday afternoon at Chatzos. And the Gemara tells us on Dav Vav Amebez in Pesachim that when it becomes Aser, it's taken out of our Rishus. It's no longer, in a certain sense, owned by us because we have no rights to it. We have no ability to do anything with it. We can't eat it. We can't drink it. We can't even benefit from it. We can't give it, we can't sell it. We're over on Bal Yirah, Bal Yamatzah, we're not even allowed to possess it, we're not allowed to own it. So it's literally taken out of our possessions. We don't own our chametz. It's not ours. Let's remember, everything in life that we have is only ours because the Ribbono Shel Olam gives it to us. The Ribbono Shel Olam at any moment could decide to take it away. And when it becomes us, or what it really means is it's not ours anymore. Yet at the same time, if you do own it, and you didn't get rid of it prior to Pesach, and you didn't sell it, or you weren't mevatel it, you didn't nullify it, whatever it might be, you're still over on Isurim as if you owned it. So even though, there's something very interesting about Chametz, even though you don't own it in a certain sense, it's as if you own it. It's as if you have it. Even though it's out of your Rishus, it's out of your ownership, it's as if you own it. And you can be over on Isurim if you have Chametz in your house that you own. The Chedush Arim, the Ger Rebbe, says, we see on Chametz on Pesach, when it comes to Yisurim, you could have something that's totally out of your possession. It's not yours, but you could gain it. It's as if you have it. Alachas kama v'kama, so much more so on Pesach Latov. Meaning what? There are levels of ruchnias, levels of spirituality, heightened levels that we're all trying to get to in our davening, in our learning, in our midos, in life, in our connection, in feeling connected to Hashem always, that sometimes we feel it's out of our grasp. It's somewhere, it's like up there. You know, we see individuals that we feel are there and feel so close to Hashem, and I want to be like that, and sometimes I feel it, but it's like, it's out of my rishus. It's not there. If on Pesach, something like chametz, which is out of my rishus, it's as if it's in my rishus. So much more so, l'tov, the ability to reach levels of ruchnias, levels of spirituality is above and beyond. We can reach levels that we thought were so beyond us. And connect to Hashem in the deepest of ways. So let's understand how to. The Heilige B'nai Yisachar, Ben Yisachar once, Lel, or often I believe, Lel Seder, he had a minhag, he had a little custom, that in the middle of his Seder, he'd go outside and he'd take a walk in the shtetl, in the village where he lived. He'd walk around, not because he needed a break and needed some air like some of us might need in the middle of our Seder, but he wanted to hear the sounds of the Sedarim, the sounds of the Seder that were surrounding him. He wanted to hear the singing of Klal Yisrael, the singing of Dayenu and the Manishtana and the Torahs that are being spoken. He wanted to gain chizik, just hearing what was going on by the Sedarim of all of his Tzibur, all of Klal Yisrael. I'm sure it was something very, very special. You know, I'll never forget, it's already about 9 years ago, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael for Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer was a Thursday night that year. So it was all night Lag BaOmer in Meiron by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Anyone who's been there understands Mamish Kodesh Kedashim. And you're up all night, dancing, davening, Dan Vasikin, and then we went, and myself, Rabbi Eli Brazil, 17 Talmidim, and we went to Sfas for Shabbos. We went straight to Sfas that morning. And that Shabbos, that Lel Shabbos, Friday night in Sfas, remember, we ate our Suda, and after the Suda, I'm walking around the streets of Sfas, and it's, again, it's the night after Lag BaOmer, and Lag BaOmer is all about, it's the Yartzeit of Shimba Yochai, and the Minog, throughout Klal Yisrael, but imagine such a makom right by Meiron, is to sing the songs of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm sure many of you know. And I remember walking through the streets of Tzvas, and every window that I passed, just hear Klal Yisrael singing together, Bar Yochai, V'amartam Koy Lachai. Mamish had tears streaming down my cheeks, it was so beautiful. So you can imagine what it was, the Bnei Yisachar is walking around listening, Lel Seder, to the different Tzedarim, and he passes by one house, and they're up to the Dalad Banim. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Sheinu Delishol, right? The wise son, the wicked son. And he hears the Baal Bas, the one leading the Seder, he says these words so differently than he's ever heard them before. He hears him say, like, Mamashi says, Echad Chacham. Echad Rasha. The same way Yidden, when they say Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad, and scream out the word Echad, he was saying Echad Tam, Echad Chacham, Echad Shein Del Yishol, in such a voice, with such a call. He's never heard that before. It was very strange to him. What's this Yid doing? So Bnei Yisachar, he knocks on the door and he goes inside. The Yid couldn't believe it. The Pasha, the Yid, that he sees the Bnei Yisachar is coming in the middle of his Seder, Mamish, it's like Eliyahu HaNavi, Mamish. Okay, Eliyahu HaNavi does come to our Seder, Baruch Hashem. Try to keep him here. He should bring us Suras Toivas for Mashiach, B'mehera Be'ez Hashem. So the Bnei Yisachar asks this Yid, I've never heard this before, what are you doing? Why are you saying Echad? Why are you saying such a voice? So it says that his Seder is Tate taught him that the minog we're supposed to say by the Dalbanim Echad, as if it's Shema Yisrael, Shem Lekin Hashem Echad. I saw the story, I read the story over the last couple of weeks, I don't remember when it was. I was thinking about the story, what's Pshat in the story? What's Pshat? So I thought as follows. You know, what's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? It's the pasuk that symbolizes all of Amunah and Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everything. The oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that happens to us in the best times or the more difficult times of life. That's what that pasuk represents. That's why that's the pasuk that we say, Lo Aleinu, a person who's leaving this world, but Mesir Snefesh, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That moment, I realize as well, Hashem is one. This is Hashem as well, and this is what He wants from me. And He's watching me, and He's by my side. It's the pasuk of Amunah. You see, the Dalad Banim, you could say the four sons, represent our children. And when you have children, so every parent, there's a concept of Tzar Gidol Banim. There's difficulties you go through in raising children. As you want so much for your children, you want your children to excel and to accomplish in every area of life. B'gashmis u'baruchni es avi atzli. And when you have children that are not excelling, that are not who they should be, who you want them to be, in whatever area it is, there's nothing more difficult for a parent. There's mamish nothing more difficult. There's a line, I heard it first from a woman that I'm very, very close to, a family I'm very close to, that you could only be as happy as your saddest child. Mishatov, you all understand what that means. And everything in life pales in comparison to your children. You're willing, mamish, every tzar in the world, nothing compares to if you have tzaras with your children. So when you have these talad banim, echachachim, lo aleinu, a child who you look at as a rasha, lo aleinu, a child who's a tam, a child who's yeinu l'dishol, and it's difficult. So what does one need at those times, more than any other time in this world? Echad! You have to know there's an Eibishter. You have to know there's a Rabbonu Shalom by your side. And when you understand that through any situation, gam the Rabbonu Shalom by my side, it's all good. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And therefore, at that point in the Seder, we're not just talking about Dal Banim, we're talking about Emuna, as we do throughout the entire Seder, as we do throughout all of Pesach. And the Yesod Chi B'Yesodos is to teach us and to remind us that whatever's going on in our life, Hashem is by our side. Whatever's going on in life, that's what all of Lal Seder is about, that's what all of Pesach is about. You know, when it comes to Pesach, Baruch Hashem, we take this Yontif very, very seriously. And there are Yidden that already, from Purim time, were cleaning their houses. Mamish spotless, every little drop, every crack. Not a drop of chametz anywhere. And there are people already, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 2 weeks ago, kashered their kitchen. There shouldn't be any chametz in the house. And then it's going to come Lel, and they're cooking already and preparing, and it's very beautiful. And comes Lel Seder, we're going to sit at the Seder, and we're Mekayim Mitzvahs, and we want to be Machmir, and Mekayim Mitzvahs in the best of ways, and we're going to, Ichveis, just drink 4 cups of wine, and we're going to drink the entire Kais each time, because it's so important. And we're going to find that Shiurim of Matzah, make sure that we're eating all the proper Shiurim, and all the proper Shiurim of Marr. We're not going to go through everything right now. If you have Shailas, you could ask me another time, or later tonight. But we're going to do it all. But so many Yidden, they're grabbing on to all these mitzvahs, which is very, very beautiful. But lo aleinu, they're forgetting what the mahus of the whole Yontif is. They're Yidden to go through Pesach and on the letter of the law, keeping every mitzvah and doing everything properly. But have they walked out of Pesach a mamin, a believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a much deeper level? Have they walked out of Pesach building a kesher shel kayama with their bonus more so than they had before? Because that's ultimately what it's all about. Did they walk out of Pesach saying, Echad! About everything in this world. Because otherwise, we're grabbing onto the tuffle. We're grabbing onto what's secondary and missing the ikker. You know, imagine. Chedisha Rim brings a mashal, the following mashal. He says, imagine there was an individual, he bought a very expensive horse. Like a racing horse. Very expensive horse. And he wanted to make sure that the horse is protected, and he built this beautiful fence around the horse, and he took care of the horse. But he was afraid when he would go to sleep at night, maybe a ganav would come. Maybe some thief, a chvesnich, will dig underneath, will do... So he decided he has to hire a watchman. A night watchman to watch over his horse. And he hires the night watchman. And when he hires the night watchman, he's discussing the night watchman what he wants to do. Obviously, your job is to ensure that the horse is not stolen. And he starts to explain to the night watchman. He spends like 5 minutes. How important it is the night watchman doesn't fall asleep at night? If you fall asleep, you're not going to be able to do your job. And how you have to make sure to stay up and chvesnish, drink coffee or do whatever it takes. Okay, the first night, the night watchman, he goes and he's doing and he's there. And he stays up. And how does he stay up? If he starts to feel a little tired, he starts to think about strange things, different things, weird things, whatever it might be. Whatever he's thinking about. Every few hours he'd be thinking about it, he'd be up, and you know what happened? The owner of the horse would come and check on him because he, even though he went to sleep, he was really nervous. He couldn't sleep. He just got this horse, a very expensive horse. But he was up the whole time and it was good. The morning he comes and checks on him, and he sees the night watchman. The night watchman's still up. He doesn't see his horse. He's looking all around. Where's the horse? He goes to the night watchman. What's happening? He says, I'm up, don't worry, I'm up. He says, I see you're up, but where's the horse? He says, it's a good question. I'm not sure. He was so concentrated, on making sure that he'd stay up, he forgot to watch over the horse. And the ganav came from some other side and stole the horse. So l'maisa, yeah, he stayed up all night. He didn't go to sleep, but he grabbed onto the tuffle. That was secondary to actually protecting the horse. So we could go and we could not eat chametz and we could eat our matzah and eat our and drink our dalakosos and lean and do all the halachos that are proper and appropriate and keep a letter of the law of Pesach on the highest of levels. But if we're not building our emunah in Hashem, if we're not building deeper faith in the Rabbon Hashem, a deeper relationship with the Rabbon Hashem, if we don't walk out of Pesach feeling the Rabbon Hashem is by my side always, in every situation, in the times of Geula and the times of Galus, so what have we done? What is it all about? You know, Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, if you look in a lot of Chumashim have it like this as well, but if you look in a Sefer Torah for sure, the Dalid of Echad is very large. It's not the normal size of the rest of the letters. There's a Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa that says, Ki lo tishtachave lekel acher, that you shouldn't bow down to another god, and the Reish of Acher is also very large. What's Pshat? So the Halakha of Bnei Yisachar, we said a story from Bnei Yisachar, we'll share a Torah from Bnei Yisachar, he says that, you know, Reish and Dalet are very, very similar letters. The drop, a little, what's called a kites, a little drop is different. Little kites. In fact, Reish is Gematria 200, Dalet is Gematria 4, right? We all know that's very simple. What's the difference between 200 and 4? 196. 196 is Gematria kites. Kites means a drop of a letter. So that's the whole difference between the two, is a drop. There's only a drop by the dalet that the reish doesn't have. So they can easily be mixed up. You know, when you're teaching a child how to read, you're teaching him the aleph bays, so you're going to teach from larger letters, so it's very clear, so you don't get confused. So too, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to make sure, when it comes to these letters specifically, that we don't confuse them. And we don't look at the Dalet as if it might be a Reish, or the Reish, it might be a Dalet, because Chas V'Sholom, should we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Acher? Or Chas V'Sholom say, Lo Shistachave Lekel Echad, not to bow down to the one God. I mean, if we change the Dalet to Reish in either of these places, we mamish change the understanding to the complete opposite of what we want. Which tells us, by the way, it's a slippery slope, it's a very slight difference to start not feeling so close to Hashem, to feel not have not the proper emunah. It's very easy. It's a slight difference, and we have to be so careful and make sure that we're always strengthening our emunah and feeling that Hashem is by our side every moment. Lel Seder, it's a night of a Seder. Seder is Rosh Hatevos. It's a sod, it's a secret of Dalet and Reish. The secret to know the difference between Dalet and Reish. The secret, sod, Seder. Samach is sod, the secret, Dalet, Reish. You should learn from the Seder the secret of when to put the Dalet and when to put the Reish. When to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Lo Shistachav Elokel Acher. This is the Avodah. The Avodah of Lel Seder. That's why the Maral says when it comes to the Korban Pesach, everything's about the number one. How old does the Korban Pesach have to be? 1 year old. I spoke, I think it was last time, 2 weeks ago, how the 10th of Nisan, I always bring home a stuffed lamb. So that was today. Today was the 10th of Nisan. So I brought home, I just mamished not long ago, I brought home a big stuffed lamb. I was really thinking of getting a real one this year, it just didn't happen. I don't think Shandy would let that happen, but that's another discussion for another time, but, you know, you never know. L'maisa, I brought him stuffed lamb, and I said to when I brought it, I was walking up the steps with the lamb, and I'm announcing that our Korban Pesach is here, and we went, and we tied it to the legs of the bed, and I said, oh, we got a very cute one, 1 year old, because the halacha is it has to be 1 year old. The halacha is, you eat it in one household together. The halacha is, you're not allowed to break the bones into two. They have to stay one. various reasons for all these halachas, but the Maral says we see everything with the Korban Pesach is one. Because all of Pesach is Kam Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. To recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything at every moment in our life. And how are we building this on Pesach? How are we building it? How are we building this Emunah on Pesach? We're reliving, when we go through the Seder, we relive all the amazing miracles of Seder night, right? Of Pesach. We relive the 10 Makos. Who at their house doesn't go through the 10 Makos? Every one of us has already, right? The glasses to put on and to act out the Makos. If you don't, you gotta go get them. You do that in Canada? I don't know what you do in Canada. But Lamaisa, you gotta get the Makos glasses and act out the Makos. And talk about the Makos and the amazing miracles of the Makos. And who doesn't talk about Kriyas Yamsev at their Seder? Even though that really happened a little bit later, that Shvishal Pesach, but that's not for now. The miracles, all night is talking about the miracles of Pesach. And the Ramban at the end of Bo, one of the most famous Rambans in the entire Torah, says, the last Ramban in Parshas Bo, Umin Hanisim HaGedoylim HaMufursamim, through the great, grand, famous miracles, we come to admit and understand also the hidden miracles. We come to remember, just like Hashem split the sea, He allows me to wake up in the morning. Just like Hashem brought a mak of dam, Sardeh, Akin, and Arov. Hashem is by my side every step I take. Shem Yisod HaTorah Kula. That's the Yisod of Torah. To understand Hashem is in everything, not just the Nisim Gluyim, but the Nisim Nistarim. She'ain la'adam chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have a chelik in the Torah. She'neman b'chol dibareinu b'kareinu she'kulam nisim. Ein ba'am teva. Till you understand that everything is miracles. Everything is a miracle. There's no such thing as teva. U'min hagol sholom b'im b'rabim b'im b'yachid. Everything that happens is a miracle. Is the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything in our life is the Rabbeinu Shalom. And kol ma'adav rechman al-tav avid. You know, there's a pasuk, a very strange pasuk, and a strange Rashi in Parshas Bo, that tells us as follows. I don't know if you ever picked up on this. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Dalet. The pasuk says, "Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv." That's the whole pasuk. The day that you left was in the springtime, in the month of spring, the time of spring. So Rashi says, "What's the Torah telling us here? We left in the spring. Shkoyach, very nice." Rashi says, we know they left in Nisan. We have to specify that it was springtime. Look at the chesed that Hashem did for you. He took you out in the month that's the nicest time to leave. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's not rain season. Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim in the best of times. I saw in the Sefer Berchaim of Melech Biderman, where it was in his Agada, of Melech Biderman, Mashpia, in Bnei Brak, he says, imagine. He says, imagine you have a Yid that was in the Holocaust, Kaddish Dika Yid. And that Yid has a story how he was on the cattle cars and on the way, Chvesless to Auschwitz or wherever it was. And Nisim Gluya miraculously somehow he was able to jump off the cattle car and Mamish save his life and jump into the forest and run to the forest and survive on all the berries and foods, and Mamish survived the war afterwards. And he asked that Yid, tell me something. He tells you his whole story, the amazing miracles of how he jumped off the cattle car, how he got off. Tell me, Nu, so that time when you jumped off the cattle car, what was the weather like that day? 60 degrees, 40 degrees, 80 degrees. Drizzling. He looked at you like you're crazy. Like, who cares what the weather was? He was freed. It was a miracle. Is he really concerned if it was snowing or if it was hot or if it's... Baruch Hashem, Hashem saved him. That's all that matters. Did it really matter to us that the Eibishter took us out in this... Shkoyach. He took us out in the nicest weather to travel. And if we were 210 years in Mitzrayim, we wouldn't have been happy to go out in July? We wouldn't have been happy to go out in January. Let us out any time. It needs to be awesome. Spring. What the Torah is teaching us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us, and every little thing in this world Hashem is mashkiach over. Hashem is watching over, and Hashem is orchestrating, and Hashem is Mamish, as we say, is the master of puppets, making sure that everything is best for us. And yes, maybe Lamaisa, of course, we'd be happy to leave at any time. But ultimately, the Rabbono Shel Olam wants everything is perfect. It's not just good. Everything is perfect for us. Tailor-made. There's no echvestis. It's not that you go to Bloomingdale's or, I don't know, wherever you go to David's Den or wherever, whatever does it for you, and you go and you get yourself a nice yontiv suit, but then you have to go to get it tailored because, let's be real, nothing ever fits perfectly because every body is different and you need to get it tailored if you want it to look good. No. With the Rabbeinu Shalom, everything's custom-made. You know, like a gown for a chasana, it's custom-made. It's not, you're not going in and then changing it. With the Rabbeinu Shalom, everything in our lives is custom made. There's no tailor needed. Perfect. He knows everything. And he knows also the future. So he's able to custom make, and he knows if you're going to take off or put on 5 pounds to put it perfectly, even at the time when he does it. He knows what's going to be when you're going to wear it. So sometimes we don't know that. So we get a dress, and it's a little bit ichvesnes, just a little bit small over here. It's a little bit small, so it doesn't feel so good. But lemaisa, you're not wearing it for a chasana in 2 months. And you're going to lose 5 pounds, 10 pounds by then. Because we try to do that for chasanas, right? But the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Eibishter, he knows. But we don't see it, so we're upset in the moment something's happening and it looks like it's really bad. It's perfect for us. It's custom made. We won't see it for 2 months from now, but it's custom made. Every single detail. You know, what's the food of Pesach? What's the food of Pesach? The food of Pesach is matzah. And matzah is the most amazing food in the world. Could have I asked you, why do we eat matzah? I don't have to ask you. We ask it at the end of the Seder. Matzah al-Shomah, right? The end of the Seder, when we go through the big three, Pesach, Matzah, Matzah al-Shomah. Why do we eat the matzah? No, what's the terrace? Why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat matzah? No, so, no. What?
There's no time.
Oh, beautiful, right? So we know, we're getting ready. You got a minog, by the way, this Shabbos, many have, it's all brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, a minog to read through the Agadah this Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Shabbos Agadol. Which part of that is very beautiful, so you could prepare and get ready for the Seder and already go through it prior a little bit and be holding. Also, this Shabbos Agadol, that's the year when we left Mitzrayim, was the 10th of Nisan, when we brought the animals into our bias, which is the beginning of the miracle, because the Mitzrayim saw this, and this was their God, who said, we're shechting it, they didn't do anything. But at the end of that God, we say we're eating the matzah, because we all know, right, you remember this from kindergarten, right, how our Mora taught us that we left Mitzrayim, and it was very quick, and we didn't have time for the dough to rise, so we have matzah. We all know that, right? You'll ask Uriel tomorrow if he knows that. He probably knows that. But is that it? See, let's go back to the beginning of the Seder. Beginning of the Seder, we start off the Seder, we say, Halach Ma'anya. And what do we say? Halach Ma'anya, de'achlu avasano ba'ara de Mitzrayim. Here's the bread that our forefathers ate when they were in Mitzrayim. Yachatz, why do we break the matzah? Because we want to make it into lechem oni, poor man's bread. Poor men don't have full, beautiful matzahs, they only have broken pieces. Matzah represents as well the bread of slavery. The same matzah is lechem oni and lechem shalchiris. You hear this? The same matzah. Why is that? Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants us to tell you it's one and the same. It's one and the same. I was with you the whole time. What you perceived as being lechem oni was really lechem shalchiris. It doesn't even change the bread. He doesn't want it to change. He wants it to be one and the same, so we learn this lesson. It's not that the Rabbeinu Shalom subtly is with us when we leave Mitzrayim. He was with us the whole time. And if you think about the Seder, the whole El Seder is like this. We have Maror, of course, because we have to remember the slavery. But what do we do with the Maror? We don't just eat Maror straight up. We put some charosis on it. Because we want to sweeten it. But it's not just to sweeten it. We want to show that also is sweet. The Maror was sweet. The slavery was sweet. We were supposed to be in Mitzrayim 400 years. We were only there 210 years. Because the labor was so back-breaking labor. It knocked off 190 years. As a shkoyach, you say, big deal. Maybe I would have rather been there 400 years of easier labor. But we've thanked to the 49th level of Tumah. We would have been there any longer. We never would have gotten out. Spiritually. So it all helped us, the hard labor. knocked off 190 years and saved Klal Yisrael. Sweet, sweet as could be. Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it is hard to see. But it doesn't mean it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam by our side. We have to remember this. And that's what the whole Seder is about. That's what all Pesach is about. There's a mashal that the Baalei Mussar say over. I'm going to tell you this mashal now, and you're going to say you read this in some poem by some woman of the Umos HaOlam, and there's big machloikism. You could go and Google it. Everyone, not everyone, but many different people claim it was their great-grandmother who wrote this poem. And they say whether it was 1924, it was written by Chvesnish, Marsha, whatever. And some other one says it's no, it was my great-grandfather wrote it for her wedding in 1962. Meanwhile, this is brought down by Baalei Mussar in the 1800s already. So, okay, Bistama, they just took it from us. It wasn't written as a poem. But it talks about a Yid, and a Yid is walking through the desert. And the Yid is walking through the desert. And as he's walking, he looks back and he sees his footsteps in the sand. And he sees his footsteps, but he also sees a pair of footsteps next to him. And he's thinking to himself, what is this? What's going on? He knows he's alone. Maybe he's hallucinating a little bit. It's very hot in the desert. You know, he hasn't had water in a while. Suddenly a bas kol comes from Shemayim. I don't know in the poem if they call it a bas kol. I don't know what they do. You have to find it. But a bas kol comes from Shemayim and says, It is I, the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm by your side always. And Mamash is so warm, so sweet, so amazing. This Yid is like, I knew that, but for the first time I see it, I feel it. Suddenly, out of nowhere, after a few minutes, a lion comes. And the lion comes and jumps at this guy, and he's fighting the lion and kicking the lion and the lion clawing at him. And somehow he got the lion to run away. He got the lion to run away, and he was with some scratches, but nothing, no serious damage. And he walks on, and at that point he looks back when he was fighting with the lion, and he sees during those few minutes as he's running away from the lion, he's with the lion, he only sees one pair of footprints. He doesn't see the second pair. He doesn't understand. He says, suddenly in the difficult times, he says, where'd God go? Where's my Ribbono Shel Olam? Oh, he's with me when everything's okay. Suddenly he's gone. I don't feel him. I don't see him. The footprints aren't there. And then a bas kol comes down from Shemayim again, a second bas kol. And bas kol says, Rabbi Yid, my tzaddik, don't you understand? Don't you see that you made it, that you beat the lion? Don't you realize during that time, I wasn't just walking next to you, but I lifted you up and put you on my shoulders? This is only one set of footprints. You see, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us always. He's always with us. He's much more with us even in the more difficult times. We just have to understand it, even though we don't see it. And even that which feels so bitter is really so sweet. And that's the Lechem Oini, which becomes the Lechem Cheres. The Hilge Noyim Elimelech was just as Yortzeit Chaf Aleph Adar, the Rebbe of Melech in Lejansk. So he was once teaching these lessons of Amunah. He was talking about Hashkacha Pratis, and he was talking about how the Ribbono Shel Olam is by our side always, and everything that happens, every little detail, is choreographed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam decides, and he says he uses a very strange analogy, a very strange example. He says, even when a horse lets out its manure in that place, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one deciding that should happen. Sounds very below the Rebbe, the Noam HaMelech, to use such an example. It's not the classiest of examples to use. One of his chassidim is thinking, I can't believe the Rebbe just spoke like that. It's like so below him. That's not the way the Rebbe usually would speak. What's going on? And he's thinking this, but really, he's not going to go to the Rebbe. He's not going to call him out on it. You know, he's not a mechutzav. So he moves on. He leaves the Rebbe. He goes home, whatever it is. A couple weeks later, it's freezing cold outside. Mamish, snowing, everything turns into ice. This yid, who's an older yid, he's walking and he slips on the ice, and he's mamish about to have what could be a deadly fall. Going head first onto the ice. Mamish people leave this world that way. And just happened to be exactly the spot where he falls. Early that day, a horse came by and used that makom as his place. And it wasn't wet anymore, but it was soft. It was the manure that was let out was soft on top of the ice and broke his fall, and he fell into basically a cushion, and he was totally fine because of it. A few weeks later, it's back by the Rebbe, by the Noam HaMelech. He walks into the Noam HaMelech, and the Noam HaMelech looks at him, and before he says a word, he says, "Nu?" So tell me, do you think the Rabbeinu Shalom decides exactly every spot where a horse is going to allow its manure to be? Everything in this world is Hashkacha Pratis. Everything in this world is the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is by our side, and this is the munah we have to have in our own gullus and our own gula. That's the gula. The gula is the munah. At the moment of the munah, you already found the gula. Gullus is when you don't feel the Rabbeinu Shalom by your side. The moment you feel the Rabbeinu Shalom by your side, the moment you know he's carrying you on his shoulders, immediately it's all good. Immediately. And that has to be our personal geula of Leil Seder. Our personal maschil begnus of Messiah Mishmach. Our personal chayev adam liras asma keili yatsum Mitzrayim. That each and every one of us is if we left Mitzrayim. In what sense did I leave this yontav? I leave my Seder that I'm revitalized in my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom and my emunah b'Hashem. In everything that happens, in everything in my life, when it comes to those who are not, or lo aleinu has illnesses, when those are suffering with financial difficulties, when those are having difficulties in this yoinus, when it comes to shiduchim, whatever the situation might be, Rabbeinu Shalom by our side, and he's orchestrating the most perfect custom-made suit for each and every one of us. And we just don't understand what's going to be, so we don't see it in the moment. What a schus we're about to enter into, a yantiv that could build this for us. Mamish yantiv, those of us, I assume most in this room at this point, if we're still here, though it's still possible, first of all, hopefully we'll all be, Mashiach will come better in the next couple of days, but if we're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael, Leil Seder, I don't have the time to go through the Makoros, we're Mamish sitting, Mamish in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, at our Seder. Every single one of us, you just have to, you're in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. The mamish big sources for this. I don't have the time right now. Our Seder or mamish there. We're lifted up and brought to Har HaBayis mamish. And what chizik we could gain, how we could walk out that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like on the highest level like we never had before. We could be whole, totally different people, because this is what it's all about. And vada, of course, I didn't mean to belittle keeping the mitzvos in the proper way, for sure, but understanding that secondary to the emunah and the connection to Hashem. You know, the two mitzvos d'oraisa, Leil Seder, two mitzvos that are from the Torah that we are mekayim these days. There used to be more when we have a Beis HaMikdash, Korban Pesach, Marar b'zman hazeh zol midrabanan. Matzah and Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of eating matzah and Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim are d'oraisa. What's interesting, Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim, telling over the storyline, Magid, there's no bracha. When we do a mitzvah, we usually have brachas first. Where's the bracha before Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim? So a different answer that people say. One answer is because there's no real shear, no measurements. You could do a lot, you could do a little. Like doing chesed, we have no bracha because also there's no shear, there's no measurement. Others give an answer. By the end of Magid, we have a whole bracha. When we drink the kais, the second kais, second cup of wine, we have a bracha, v'asher ga'alanu, that we're redeemed. And that bracha is the bracha of Magid. There comes the Chacham Sofer and he asks, I don't understand. When we make brachas on that answer, a bracha has to be over lasiyasan. A bracha has to be before you do the action. You don't do it afterwards. When I go and I light Chanukah menorah, I make the bracha first, then I light. I don't light and then make the bracha. Leil Shabbos, you have to light first because you can't. Once you make the bracha, you're mekabel Shabbos by Hadlakas Neiros. But that's why we know we cover our eyes and make the bracha and then get net hanah from the mitzvah in a certain sense, right? We always make a bracha before we do the mitzvah. Why would we make a bracha at the end of the mitzvah if that's what the bracha is? So there's one individual makes a bracha after they finish doing the mitzvah. Who's that? A ger that's a misgayer, a convert that becomes a convert. So the final step is going to the mikvah. When they go to the mikvah, when they go before they go into the mikvah, they're still a goy. They can't make a bracha. So a goy that goes to the mikvah goes into the mikvah and doesn't make the bracha prior like women would if they have to go to the mikvah. It makes the bracha when they leave the mikvah. When it came Lel Pesach, when we were leaving Mitzrayim, we were all gerim, we were all converts, we were all becoming yidim for the first time. So to each and every one of us is reliving this. So to every one of us, when it comes to Pesach Lel Seder, we're a gerish and a skyer. We're completely new individuals. Mamish, the koyach of Lel Seder, that each and every one of us, and that means as well, the whole. If therefore we make the bracha at the end, because I'm a ger, I'm a new person, I could reach levels I've never reached before, I could change in ways I've never changed before, but that means all of Lel Seder then is also a mikvah. That's our mikvah. The mikvah is going through the Seder. The mikvah is talking about Amunah. The mikvah is building our belief in Hashem. And then I make the bracha at the end when I finally feel that, basically. What a schus. What a yontif we're entering into to build this amunah and this connection to Hashem. Just to end with one last story. The Heilige Maggid of Mezrich, the Maggid of Mezrich of Dov Ber was of the greatest Talmidim, the Baal Shem Tov. And in his community, in his Sibor, there was a Yid Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron was a Baal Tshuva. When he was younger, was not religious, was a very brilliant individual, went to medical school, became a big doctor, and eventually became a Baal Tshuva. And he was the most trusted doctor of the Maggid of Mezrich. One time the Maggid of Mezrich walks into his shul, it was Shabbos morning, and he looks at one of the Yidden there, an older Yidden, he looks at him, he looks very sick, he looked very unwell. So he quickly calls over Aaron and says, check him out, I want you to go check him, see what the story is. Aaron looks at him, and diagnoses a very serious illness, and he says to the Maggid of Mezrich, I'm so sorry, this Yid, he's not going to make it past today. He says, what can we do for him? He says, Rav Aaron says, there's one medication, based on these herbs that you could put together, and you take it, and it will literally burn out your insides, and heal him, but you can't get it where we are. It would take weeks before we'd be able to get our hands on this medication. I'm so sorry, he's just not going to make it past today. Okay, this is what it is. They didn't tell the man, there's no reason to tell him this. It was what it was. Okay, they go home, Shabbos, the lunch, come back, Mincha time, they come back, the Maggid looks, and that Yid, he's there, and he looks healthy as could be. He looks amazing. And the Maggid goes over, he says, tell me something, I don't understand. You look, yeah, I feel great, it's amazing, I'm all better. He said, what? I don't understand. I had Rav Aaron check you out, I don't want to tell you then, but he told me, you're not going to make it past today. What happened? He said, let me tell you something. So I went home for my Suda. He says to the Maggid, I know you know that unfortunately we're very, very poor. This Shabbos I had so little food, I had nothing left in the house. I had just enough food that everyone, my children, my wife, could have a little bit of something. And after they all eat what they ate, there was nothing left for me for Shabbos Suda. I had literally nothing. And I go, I open up all our cabinets. There wasn't a morsel of food in my house. But we had a bunch of spices. So I took all the spices we had and I mixed them all together and I said, I have to eat something, L'kavod Shabbos, and I just downed this mixture of spices, I don't even know what it was, and my inside, my tail feel like it was burning out, but about an hour later, I felt like $1 million. Somehow this Yid, Mamish put together, miraculously, that same potion of medication that he needed and he was saved. But what brought him to that? What brought him to that? Only because he was so impoverished. Only because he was such an ani. Only because he was so, what he thought was going through such difficulties and such sorrows. That literally was the answer to his refuah. If it wasn't for that, and he ate like a normal person, he would be dead. That maror of life was the sweetest maror that can be. Each and every one of us has to believe and understand that's the Ribbono Shel Olam always. Sometimes for reasons we don't understand, it seems very difficult and seems very bitter. But everything is the Rabbi Hashem, and everything is the Rabbi Hashem always by our side, bringing Gula. And Bez Hashem is Baruch, we should be Zoicha to go through the Yantav of Pesach and build this Amunah within our hearts, within our Neshamas, to be able to always see the Rabbi Hashem by our side, to always feel the Rabbi Hashem by our side. As Chazal say, Bez Hashem, that Nisan the Gula occurred, Bez Hashem, Basad Lavo, Nisan the Gula will occur. And Bez Hashem, it's going to occur. But we have to mamish, we have to daven for that on a global level. But on an individual level, there's no question it can happen for each and every one of us. If we find the Rabbeinu Shem in our lives always, we're already reaching a level of Gula. So Bez Hashem, you should all be Zoicha to Yantafel of Simcha, Yantafel of Bracha. Yantifol Gula Shlema Bimhera Biyameno. Amen. 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 Amen.